So it's birthday season. And I have to admit, no matter how old I get, when I hear someone sing happy birthday, well, kind of brings a little joy to my soul. Happy birthday is a beautiful song, and a wonderful way to sing it is when someone you love is celebrating a new year. Around our house, it's even more than just the church's birthday. My wife will be celebrating her birthday in a couple of days, and our anniversary. I highly encourage you to get married on your wife's birthday. Because you can get one pair of earrings and kill two birds with one stone. I'm looking around, and the women are not smiling. No, I don't do that. I've learned not to. But there's also a tradition that I learned in elementary school. It's a little chant that the kids sing. Maybe you did this. When you did happy birthday, they would chant together, "Are you one? Are you two?" Did you all do this? "Are you two? Are you three? Are you..." Whenever you get to the age, then you say, the person whose birthday it is says, "Stop." So we could do this with the church. "Are you one? Are you two?" No, we won't do that. That would take a long time. I could probably keep the chant up to maybe 40 or 50, but in my old age, I don't think I could go up to way above 2,000. So I'll just say again, happy birthday, church. And it's Pentecost, the day we celebrate the birth of the church, or as my son used to say, the day the church was invented. I think the idea of Pentecost as the church's birthday is a most appropriate day. What do we celebrate on a birthday? Well, not anything a person has necessarily done except live and keep living. On a person's birthday, what we do is we gather around that person and sing and clap and give them gifts, generally, right? And they get treated a little bit better than perhaps they might get treated on any other day, hopefully. And sometimes, well, we make a big to-do and have a cake, right? Or in this case, cupcakes. And in fact, it was someone else who made the choice and did the work, and all they did was just to get born. They didn't actually do anything, did they, to get all of these good things? Somebody else did all the work. They just got born. And so what we celebrate is that something happened to them and something happened for them. And what we celebrate is that a choice was made on their behalf. The gift of life was given to them. And with each passing year, it keeps being given. What we celebrate is not an achievement. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's life. And we celebrate the miracle. We celebrate the life. And who we celebrate is the recipient, not the doer. The whole matter of celebrating birthdays is all the more remarkable because what we celebrate is something we can't even remember for ourselves. Anybody here remember their birthday? Others remember it for us, though, don't they? And in some cases, they tell the story. Oh, I'll never forget the day you were born. They can tell the story because they remember that day. I once knew a woman whose mother would call on her birthday every year to tell her the story of her birth. The phone would ring, the daughter would pick it up, and on the other end would be the voice that she had known from the womb. And it would begin, "On the day you were born." And her daughter would settle in and listen to her mother tell the story. The beautiful story of the miracle of life. It was a familiar story for her, not because she remembered it, but because she'd been told so many times. She'd heard the story so many times, she said she believed she actually remembered it. And so it is for us. This morning, we get that same birthday gift, the loving retelling of the story of the birth of the church. On the day you were born, God says. And he tells the miracle of this beginning, how a ragtag group of people, kind of like us, came together, and there was a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house. And there were divided tongues as a fire that appeared. And a tongue rested on each one of us, and we were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and we all began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled us. And we were able to share the good news in many different languages so that everybody could hear and understand the good news of God's grace for each of us, for you and for me. And every year on our birthday, he tells the story again. The story of the singular event of our coming into existence, the miracle of the life of the church. A miracle that's no less than the miracles of each of us being born. It was not our own doing. It's not our own choosing that made it so. What we celebrate is what has happened to us and what's happened for us and what's happening to the world, because we celebrate our existence, but mostly we celebrate the power that brings us into existence. And the power is not of our doing. I'm sitting with a woman who's grieving because she's lost a family member. And she says to me, "I feel this warm peace. Did she do that? No. So where does that come from? From us? No. It's the miracle of the Holy Spirit touching our lives. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? So where did that come from? Well, it's not of our doing. And not by our power. It comes from God, God's Holy Spirit. So far beyond our ordinary and rational frame of reference, we can scarcely get our minds around it or our words. Luke uses words like wind and fire to describe it, and his images are violent. There's force to the images, and we're not altogether sure that it's a nice kind of feeling that Luke's talking about. We're happy to talk about God the Creator. We'll talk about Jesus a little bit too. But talk about the Spirit. The Spirit that descends on us, that fills us, that empowers us, that guides us, that uses us, that blows us where it will and with violent force. Well, let's not get carried away. I saw a cartoon this week of what Pentecost might look like if it happened today. A voice from a cloud says, "I shall send down my Spirit, and it will be like a flame upon your heads." And the good church people below respond by saying things like, "Does this mean that I can't wear a hat?" And if that happens, we ought to have a fire drill. And the one in the middle declares, "This is a safety nightmare." The young man next to him says, "Will it set off the fire alarm?" And the woman next to him throws up her hands and says, "This church is a non-smoking area. No fire allowed." And it's a little funny because it's true. Or one of my favorite stories that I like to tell to my Presbyterian friends, whom I affectionately refer to as the frozen chosen. When a woman from the back raises her hands and shouts hallelujah, one of the elders approached her and says, "I'm sorry, but we don't do that here." She says, "I can't help it. I've found Jesus." And he says, "Well, you didn't find him here." You can tell that to your Presbyterian friends, but make sure you laugh and chuckle as you do, because otherwise they'll become offended. And it's funny because it's true. Folks, I believe God wants us to do big things. I really do. I don't think God's through with us. I really don't. And our concerns, they're so small. And sometimes so petty. Kind of pedestrian, really. And yet we're so anxious about them. But the Holy Spirit? Fearsome. Powerful. Unbounded grace. Wild force. Now that's what makes us who we are. That's what makes us the church. And if we're only here to do our work, to carry out our plans, to execute our programs, then to do the things that we think up, well, we might make a good social institution. And we might actually be a very fine charitable organization. But that's not the church. What makes us the church is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit poured out on each one of us. And someone asked me, when someone comes forward and says that they've received Christ's love and grace into their life, don't you have a period or a time where you examine them or question them or make sure that this experience that they're having is legitimate? I found that to be interesting. No, I said. We trust the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that spoke to me and drew me into that place. We trust the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is active in calling us to live a fuller life, to calling us to receive Him, to calling us to making new decisions, to calling us to go out into the world and to share His love. And filling us with perfect peace when a family member dies. We trust the Holy Spirit. Can you trust that voice? Yeah. That's a voice you can trust. I'll never forget the night I was praying with Ian. And Ian and I had a custom, our middle son, and we would pray at night and kneel at the bed and say our prayers. And one night, as we were saying our prayers and kneeling down, the light was off, and Ian said, "Someone just talked to me. Turn on the light, Dad. Turn on the light. Someone's talking to me." And I said to Ian, "What did they say?" The voice said, "I love you, Ian." "Turn on the light. Someone's in the room. Turn on the light." I turned on the light and I said, "Ian, there is someone in the room and someone surely is speaking to you." And the voice that you heard is one that you can trust. You are very fortunate. Very few of us hear the voice audibly, but I believe that you did. Trust it. Can you explain it? No more than I could explain it to Ian. Do you know it when you hear it? Oh, you know it, don't you? Do you know what it says? This voice. "I love you. I'm with you. I created you. I have all power. trust that voice. Is that voice speaking now? To each one of us, like flames coming down upon our heads. Yes. Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday. What a miracle. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, your Holy Spirit hovers over us, longing to be born again in us, and again, God bending over now. Let the fire spread, let the flames go up, let the good news go out. Let us celebrate the miracle of the birth of the church. In the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.